Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to season two of the Sustainability Podcast. This is Pratiksha, and as always, I'm with my co-host Prateek.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Pratiksha. So,
Hi.
First things first, the Sustainability 101 podcast is here to help you explore both the joys and benefits of sustainable living. The podcast highlights how the youth are interested in taking initiatives for bringing about the sustainability revolution with information and insights from the world's most inspiring change makers. And if you haven't heard yet, we have got the most exciting news ever. We now have a website, guys. Yay!
We know you guys have been waiting for it, and so don't forget to check it out. And it has links to every episode, informative blogs, and tons of fun stuff. Go on to www.sustainability101podcast.com and get ready to be dazzled.
Correct. Isn't that amazing? Like, it has the information about our insightful episodes, our lovely team, and our exciting journey as well. So please do visit. Check the description to find the link. We are always happy to hear from you. So, Pratiksha, are we ready? Are we ready to introduce our guest for today?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let's hear about our guest today from Pratiksha now.
Today's guest is super cool. She was born in Silicon Valley and is currently getting an MBA from Santa Clara University. She is here to talk about PowerNot, a company in California which manufactures biodigesters.
So what are biodigesters? Biodigesters divert food from landfills and convert it into gray water that can safely return to the environment. Gray water, if you don't know, is all the streams of water from households or offices except the wastewater. This gray water, once commercially treated, can go back to the environment.
And their digesters can process 20 kg to 1,000 kg of food waste in corporate and military settings. We have spoken before about how important food waste is to sustainability earlier of the podcast. So you had known how absolutely amazing that is. If that's not cool enough already, they have reduced 6,300 tons of organic waste from the landfill in 2020.
Wow, that's amazing. And PowerNot has offices in the United States, UK, UAE, and Australia. We hope they come to India soon. It's companies like PowerNot that make a big difference in the amount of waste created commercially. And we are so happy to have their marketing manager on our podcast to tell us more. That being said, please welcome Cecilia Wong.
Yay. Hey, hi. Welcome to our podcast. We are so happy to have you here.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we are. And many of our listeners are based in the US. And so it's great to have someone from there on our podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So here's my first question. We were so excited that you reached out to us. Tell us more about you and the PowerNot, and how did you get started, and what kind of educational background led you here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've grown up in the Bay Area my entire life. And when I went to college, I went to UC Santa Cruz. So already sustainability was something that I was very familiar with. And my first job was actually working with 3D bioprinters. So bioprinters are, it was made for the education system, and it was meant to democratize bioprinting, which was a very new technology a couple years ago, to high schoolers, to pretty much anyone growing up in the Bay Area, so that they would get familiar with it and they'd be able to utilize this technology to incorporate into their STEM-based classes. And eventually, I moved on to a new position at Rever, which is another startup. And Rever is a continuous improvement app program that's meant to democratize the ability to share ideas, to innovate on the front line, and for factory workers to have a voice and be able to share all these small incremental ideas that lead to gradual improvements that eventually can help exponentially grow and help a company. And then after a few years, I moved on to where I am today at Paranaut. So my history has been really based on working with startups and working with what I like to call disruptive innovation and new technology. And when I started working at Paranaut, I thought it was really cool that we focused on food waste. And I think a lot of sustainability efforts are focused more on sourcing, on plastics, and a reduction on different forms of emission. But with Paranaut, they focus on food waste, which is something that people don't really like to talk about. And it's something that gets heavily ignored, and people don't realize that the emissions generated from food waste, the greenhouse gas emissions, are actually higher than that generated by the transport sector. So because of that, I really liked the technology that they had. I felt that this was a company that I really wanted to work for because of the sustainability goals. And here I am today.
Oh, wow. That's actually so cool. The app that you work for would be great in so many countries. Since you started out in bioprinting, could you tell us more about how that works and how can it benefit the education system?
Yeah, absolutely. So the bioprinters, most of the ones that you know today and that are used by commercial companies, they're about, you know, $100,000 to $300,000, sometimes $500,000. And those are capable of, you know, printing out material in organic material into mediums that allow it to grow into whatever shapes would be best. Like, for example, if you're trying to grow ear cartilage, you would print it out in the shape of an ear. The bioprinters that I originally worked with, it's called a company called SA3D. It's a company that was based as a startup in Santa Clara University, and it was originally held in their makerspace. These bioprinters originally only cost anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. And it was meant so that you'd be able to print very basic level items. So you could actually print cartilage since it's pretty easy. You wouldn't be able to print mediums where it requires a little bit more complexity. So like multi-material printing, that would be a little bit harder, but you would be able to grow cells and mediums inside of those bioprinted shapes. So these bioprinters are actually across the Bay Area. I believe there's one in Irvington High School in Fremont. There's one at Mercy High School. And there are a couple across the state as well. But I thought it was really interesting. And yeah.
Yeah, thank you. thank you for telling us about this. Yeah. Sure, remember to check out SD3D, guys. That's so cool. I mean.
Yeah, and you know what? I completely agree that, like, you know, people don't like to talk about food waste. It contributes to so much of our emissions, but it is not as aesthetically pleasing. So could you explain more to our audience how food digesters work and why is food waste such a huge problem nowadays?
Yeah, absolutely. So food waste is an issue because once you throw it into the trash can, most households or businesses don't really separate it. So it gets mixed in with all the recycling and when you leave food for too long, it starts to rot. So when you throw out the trash, it starts to smell, then you have pest issues. You have all these different sanitary issues that arise with it. And when food waste accompanies regular trash and goes to landfill, it has to go through a series of processes. One, it has to be taken away from the business. So you have waste disposal services, and that can get really expensive, especially if you're a restaurant producing a lot of food waste on the daily. Then it gets transported over to landfill where it's disposed of. And what happens then is that when food waste or any sort of organic waste starts to decay, it becomes methane gas. And methane gas is actually 87 times worse for the environment than carbon dioxide.
Carbon, yeah.
Yeah. So what our company does and what most biodigesters do is we help separate this process and we remove the middleman so that there's no waste disposal service that you need to call or waste handling. Instead, you handle it on site. So the way that a biodigester works is, or at least ours, when you put food waste into our machine, we use a process called aerobic composting, which utilizes oxygen. So we have these things called power chips, which are a porous material in which PowerZymes, it's a proprietary mix of 40 plus different microorganisms that are all kind of living harmoniously together. They get poured into the power chips and that's where they're housed. And food waste goes inside the machine. You have water added. There's a rotating arm that helps spin it to generate oxygen and pull oxygen from outside of the machine so that this process allows anaerobic aerobic digestion. So as a byproduct, carbon dioxide and water, gray water, is produced from these microorganisms eating the food waste.
Nice. Like, the mechanism is so simple but effective. And I read this somewhere that in India, there is around like 68 million tons of food waste. And we should be taking notes from you for tackling this problem.
Wow.
Yeah. So true. Thank you for telling us this amazing what you are doing. So my next question is, so since you are the marketing manager, we would love to know some things you have learned during your time at PowerKnot in sustainability marketing.
Absolutely. I love to share what I'm doing. So some of the things that we're doing is we are reaching out to different organizations and we're getting a little bit more active in terms of working with different communities. And one of the organizations that we've reached out to and we're now working with is Carbon Summit. So that focuses on different, you know, carbon reductions and how businesses can really help and start to reduce their carbon footprint. A couple of other things is we've been working more on, I think the key thing is spreading awareness. So for a lot of different states, for example, California, there's Senate Bill 1383. And what that bill is it actually enforces goals for reducing organic waste in landfills. And in New York, across there are multiple states across the United States where these different environmental laws are being enforced and people don't know about it. People are unaware that there's actually you know, regulatory things that are going to affect. And part of my job is promoting the knowledge of these different bills that are coming out, spreading awareness, making people understand, hey, this is an actual thing. There are penalties that will be involved. So there are multiple incentives for companies to really kind of get to know what's happening. So I create blogs. I'm working with a couple of other podcasts too. We've been creating more videos about the effects. Great. Yeah, thank you. And we've also been a lot more active on social media, especially LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn is amazing. And we have heard of Carbon Summit, and that's great. And we understand that it can be hard to spread awareness about sustainability, you know, sustainability marketing team you are. And I wanted to know, how do you reach out to people via email or LinkedIn, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
But about the information which you shared, and I think like that's one of the reason we wanted to do this podcast in the first place. Like, we started this with an aim to create community awareness when it comes to sustainability, and not just awareness. Like, awareness is one thing, and we wanted people to have incorporating those sustainable habits in their lifestyle, so which can, like, you know, at the end develop some kind of impact. So awareness with some kind of impact was our intention. And we are doing it.
Yeah, and I have one question. What does power not mean?
So Parana is really interesting. It was actually the biodigesters are not the first product that this company created. I believe that the first product we created was SRA additives for refrigerators, and that was a more sustainable product than what there was currently on the market at the time. It's still another product that we sell, but that's the kind of source and root from where our name comes from.
Oh, okay. Do you still make the refrigerator?
Yes.
Okay.
Good one. So, Cecilia, we saw you have some operations in the United States, Canada, UK, Australia, and the Middle East. Would you be interested, like, in coming to India? What changes would you want to make to your vision if you would have to target the Indian market?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that at the moment we have a couple of distributors that we work with. But as far as I know, I think having an office would be in India would be amazing. I know you mentioned that food waste there is a huge problem, especially with separation of trash. And I think probably the biggest issues that we might encounter in the Indian market is Paranaut's products are biodigesters. We manufacture them in Silicon Valley. So because of that, with the supply chain and COVID affecting everything, the prices for our biodigesters are higher than some of our competitors. That being said, we also have a higher quality product. We invest a lot of time in R&D, and because of that, I think pricing might possibly be an issue, but when you look at the long-term ROI and how other machines they would start to smell in a year, they might break down. But with Paranaut, we offer a 3-year warranty that no other company offers. We also offer access to the LFC cloud. So what that is the biodigesters all are, once you hook them up via an Ethernet cable to the internet, they actually send all the data in a one-way stream to the LFC cloud. And what that allows you to view is you're able to see data on how much food waste is digested on an hourly, weekly, monthly basis. You get statistics on how much CO2 equivalent you divert from the environment by using the biodigester, how many times you open the machine, and you're able to see via NFC cards if you're utilizing it to dispose of certain food waste. Then you can break it down and understand what sort of organic matter is being digested, how quickly it's being digested, and track this progress remotely via your iPad, phone, or any sort of device. So
Wow,
that's
everything is so good about this, when it the operation as well as the data entry, it enters the data on itself, and you don't have to manually enter, and it keeps a track on every activity. But from what I see, you guys, well, you have a big market in India, and this is gonna take part. If you guys plan to come to India, it's gonna take power not to another level, and plus it's going to develop more green jobs in India, so I'm sure the government would definitely be in favor of you. And
Yeah, and I would like to know that in the product section on the website, you have mentioned FAQs. They are really brilliant. I have read them, but I couldn't find out what is LFC biodigester. What does LFC exactly mean, or the full form of LFC? SBD, bean tipper. I don't know, like, what is the full form and how we can use them.
So the LFC stands for
Yeah.
liquid food composter.
Oh, wow.
Yes. SBT bin tipper, I don't quite remember that off the top of my head, but what the bin tipper does is let's say you're working at a really big tech company and they have a cafeteria and they
Yeah.
make all the food meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They make that in-house. Then you're going to have a lot of food waste. So for our machines, the way that it's structured is that you have the LFC and then you have the number of kilograms that it can digest per day, give or take, in the title, and then biodigester. So we have eight different models. We have LFC 25 biodigester, yeah, all the way to the LFC 1000. Mm-hmm. And for the 500 to 1000, the machines are very, very tall. I'm only about 5 feet tall, and these machines are taller than me. The LFC 500 and the LFC 1000, I can't even see over the top of the machine. So I'm going to have problems if I want to put food waste in. And the bin tippers actually, they are machines that allow you to put food waste in. You can load a garbage bin up, and then it carries the food waste up, lifts it up, and then tips it into the machine. That way, you reduce the strain on, you know, let's say you have a lot of food waste going in per day. You don't have to have it as a manual labor anymore. It can be automated, or you can use the machine to reduce any instances of, customer injuries or worker injuries or worker compensation.
That's actually amazing. I saw there are a lot of different types of machinery. So if anybody wants to buy a lesser price or small machine, they can buy. So this is a great, every type of machine is there, affordable and small size and big size you can get. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Sure. We will definitely keep an eye out, and do let us know when you come here. And we know a lot of people in India want to reduce their food waste, and there have been some major measures to do so. In India, there are a lot of call centers. And in the call center, there are a lot of coffee machines, there are canteens, and people, in call center, there are hundreds of people are working at one floor. And I think this machine can become a valuable part for the food wastage. And I think you should think about it and talk to your, manager or someone about this, because India has a huge market for call center, and there are lot of big, buildings over here, and canteens, and a lot of food waste. I see when I went to one call center for just an interview, 5 years back, that time I was not aware about the food waste and everything. After graduating into the environmental science degree, I got to know about this all plastic waste and food waste. But I think there is a huge market in India for this biodigester, and I hope to see you in India soon.
Yeah, plus your technology is so sophisticated. Yeah. And we are very impressed with it.
Yeah. I have one more question. Does when you sell this machinery, so do you provide all the information on the pamphlet, or do you teach the people who buys it? Or whenever we brought an AC or something, people come and fix it and guide us how to use it, like that. So are you guys help them, customer, how to use it? Do you direct them into personal level, or do you send them a document about it?
So it's a little bit of both. For our customers that are within the Bay Area, we're more than happy to do installation and commissioning. But typically when someone purchases a biodigester, they're going to need to have someone come and make sure that they have all the equipment ready, an area set aside for the biodigester to reside in, and make sure that they have all the water pumps. So we do send documentation. Installation is typically done through a third party if they're far away, but it's very, very easy. And we also offer training and support that can be done remotely as well.
We are amazed at what you have achieved and what you are doing so far. What are your plans for the future, or any goals, Cecilia?
Do you mean for me personally, or
yes,
for PowerKnot?
Yes, personally.
So right now I'm about halfway through my MBA program at Santa Clara University. I'm hoping I can graduate very soon, by next year. And then one of my own personal goals is, there's a reason why I've been working for all these different startups. It's for me to gain experience so that eventually I'm going to be able to run my own company in the future. And I have a couple of ideas on different companies that I'd like to start. One of them has to do with, mental health and grieving and how we can help people who are a little bit more adverse to getting help with that, go through an automated process that also incorporates details on, the person that they're grieving over. So that's one idea. Another idea is using technology that we already have. For example, bioprinters, what if you could print out a meal plan for yourself and you just have a machine take a droplet of your blood, analyze it, see what sort of nutrients you're missing so that they can administer in an automated process, things to look forward into the future and how to regulate your health with minimal effort. So there are a lot of different ideas that I have, but I'm slowly working towards incrementally building out my own experience. And at this time, I'm having a lot of fun working with different companies in different fields. Working at Powernaut has really helped me become more sustainable as a person. I'm much more aware of what I'm consuming, the process of which I'm consuming different items, and awareness of how my actions directly impact the environment.
Oh, nice. Amazing. First of all, we wish you the best for your MBA, and we can't wait to see you what you do with your ideas. And they are so very much fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, especially about the mental health, because I value it most. And we really love the heart behind these ideas. And you're not just sticking to one sector, you are exploring all the fields where you are interested in, where you see yourself, emerging and working. And if you need any help with any of your projects, I think me and my team would love to be a part of such amazing projects. So you can always count on us for sure.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. And I'll definitely keep you in mind.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a normal question which you might have often encountered. So which is what is the one piece of advice you would like to give to anyone who's trying to manage their food waste at home or at work?
I think that honestly, the biggest thing for food waste is kind of being able to prepare and understand that anything you don't finish, there is going to be a place that it has to go, whether it's the garbage disposal or the landfill, it's going to end up somewhere. So if you can plan it out, if you can prepare your meals so that maybe you're eating a little bit less or you're portioning it out a bit better, that's probably the most effective way to really stop food waste from going to the landfill.
Also, something that I practice is planning my meals and making sure you're just consuming the amount which you need and not just taking in excess because it is available in plenty. Because since I moved to the United States, in the first week itself, I saw they really waste a lot of food. I mean, no offense, but a great amount of food is at the end of the day goes to waste. So which was a really, which really shook me. And yeah.
Thank you so much for this advice. I will try my best to stick to this as well. And yeah, composting is really the easiest and first step to follow. And I wish everyone should learn how to do composting. I started at my level, but I hope everyone who is listening to this podcast start learning about composting, because it's the easiest possible way to avoid getting food waste leak or damaging our environment. So Prateek, time for a game, right?
Definitely, Prateeksha. Let's play some new games today. How about a sustainability bingo? So Cecilia and all of you guys listening, let us tell you how you can play along with us. We each have a bingo sheet with 6 items. If you go on our Instagram right now, you'll find the sheet on your story so you can play along. Take a screenshot of our story and mark all the things on that sheet that you have done and send it to us.
Remember to post your results on your story and tag Sustainability 101. That's an O and not a zero. So we can feature you on our account. If you are watching this and the story is gone, check out our bingo highlight and play along. So Cecilia, are you ready? Let's read out the items.
Awesome. Ready to get started.
Perfect.
So far, I was able to cross out 5 items. So, yeah, I have my own water bottle that I bring along with me. I have multiple. I have that crossed out. Brought your own bottle. I have shopped secondhand also crossed out too. I think thrifting and buying different things from secondhand centers, it's pretty fun. It can be kind of a challenge and an adventure. Also, the discounts are great. So I have shopped secondhand, crossed out, started composting. I have to preach what I say, right? So yeah. I compost my own food as well. I say no to plastics. Typically, whenever I go out, I bring my own grocery bag. It's made out of cloth. So it's reusable. And I try my best not to use any plastic items. And so I have that crossed out. And then I have switched to zero waste products. So this is something that I've been trying to do more recently. It's a little bit difficult because some items, you have to get a little bit innovative, for example, toothpaste. But they do have zero waste toothpaste products where they have these little cute little capsules. Instead of using the plastic in which toothpaste normally comes out of. So I have that crossed out as well.
That's good. You covered like almost all of them.
Thank you.
It's a good score. We really need to get onto a thrift culture in India. And for me, I got 4, I guess. So yeah, I always carry my own bottle. I have shopped secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like when I moved here, I gave visit to few of the thrift shops here, which is super cool. You can really find antiques and stuff because mm-hmm. I love those kind of things.
Yeah.
I've also done a package-free month or maybe months, I can say. And I've also said no to plastic. I think I can start I have to start experimenting with composting. I have not done it at individual level, but I did it when I was an intern at an organization in India. So we were doing composting for the entire building. So we made the building like totally zero waste, which was very fun task to do. So I think I can start with that. Okay. So thank you so much, Cecilia. I think between both of us, you won the game. It was such a fun game. And if we have time for another, how about a quick one-word game? So are you ready, Cecilia?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So Cecilia, we will give you one word and you will tell us the first word that comes to your mind when you think of it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's go. First is food waste.
Composting.
Good. Silicon Valley.
Technology.
Awesome.
Podcast.
Sustainability podcast.
Yeah.
India.
Working class.
Okay. Greenwashing.
Detergent. For some reason that popped right into my head, probably because I think nowadays I see a lot of detergent switching to a healthier, more sustainable packaging, and also I think the chemicals that they use are a lot less abrasive than they previously were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And black water.
Filter.
Okay.
That was so great.
Yeah, and great answer, Cecilia.
Really, we enjoy this game so much. So that brings us to the end. And thank you so much for coming on our podcast today, Cecilia. And it was amazing to talk to you.
We really appreciate guests who set examples for our future change makers. And we hope you enjoyed yourself too, Cecilia. Now, lads, like, we have this ritual where we ask few, like, last two questions to every guest of ours. This helps our listeners to dive straight into your personalities and it inspires them. So are you ready, Cecilia, for the last two questions?
Absolutely.
Do you have any role models, especially someone who has been a motivation for you to be in sustainable field?
Yes. I actually think that Bill Nye is a pretty big role model. Growing up, whenever I was in science classes, you know, it's his videos would be something that everyone would want to watch instead of having class. But the thing that really strikes out, really stands out to me, is the fact that, you know, years later, as a young adult and as an adult now, he's still continuing his mission. He's still working actively to spread different messages. So to me, he's someone that I've grown up all my life watching, and he's a huge role model.
Bill Nye is amazing. If you guys don't know Bill Nye, the science guy, we recommend you to check him out now. Right?
Yeah. And heading to our last question for the day, which is, if you could go back to 10 years from now, Cecilia, mm-hmm. what advice would you give your younger self?
I would definitely tell my younger self, pay attention to, you know, where everything is coming from, and think a little bit more actively about how there is a cause and effect for everything that you do. And, you know, this applies to everything, not just sustainability. But I think the concept and the process can be utilized in everyday life. And for example, if I had thought a little bit more, this is a sustainability example, but if I thought a little bit more about, you know, the types of food that I'm buying, maybe back 10 years ago, I think my diet now is a lot better and cleaner than it was. My diet right now is a lot better and cleaner than it was 10 years ago, because I focus more on how will this food help me. I go to the gym pretty often nowadays. Something that I got into recently is trying to beat PRs and powerlift. And because of that, I focus on eating, you know, good proteins. I don't
healthy.
Yeah, eating healthy. But I think 10 years ago, I wasn't doing that. I was eating more fast food and didn't really care as much. And I can really see the difference. And that is probably my biggest advice to myself back then.
That's good.
Yeah, those were amazing answers. And I really like your eating nutritious food, and That is what we have to do in our whole life. To good lifestyle is amazing.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing those information with us and our listeners, and for answering our questions so patiently. We really loved having you, Cecilia.
Right, thank you so much for having me.
We did. And where can our listeners find you and PowerNot?
Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn at Cecilia Wong, Cecilia, CECILLIA, two L's. And PowerNot, you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, LinkedIn, and our website, powernot.com, powerknot.com.
Great.
Okay, this was such a delightful conversation we had just now. Thank you so much again, and a big thanks to all the people who have been with us for so long for our season two, for our season one, for our season two. Remember, guys, to check out us on our Instagram. We are pretty active over there. You can also visit our website, which is brand new, to know more about our team, our episodes, and our journey. And listen to our previous episodes if you haven't. And until then, think sustainable and act responsibly.
Thank you, bye. Cecilia.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, bye, guys.
Bye.